Give Us This Day Evening Edition is a devotional reflection upon the New Testament lesson from the Order for Evening Prayer from the Book of Common Prayer 1928. These reflections are written and presented by Father Charles Erlinson, who serves at the Church of the Good Shepherd Reformed Episcopal Church in Tyler, Texas.
Today is Monday of the ninth Sunday after Trinity. The lesson is taken from Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 17.
Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come to you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Out of Paul's life and into my head. This ought to be interesting, having just finished Acts, to enter into Paul's magnum opus, his letter to the Romans. Do you get the idea, reading Romans 1, that Paul thinks that the gospel of Jesus Christ is important? More than important, the gospel of Jesus Christ is to Paul an all-consuming passion that is intimately connected to Paul's life and to the life of God's people before and after Paul. There's a temptation for us Protestants to want to jump immediately to Romans 1:17, to the exclusion of everything else, which is precisely why I'm not going to jump there. The way I figure it, you've probably already heard a lot of sermons and Bible studies on it, and so I don't want to focus exclusively on it. When my brother was in graduate school at Wheaton College, he took a lot of Bible courses and church history classes. He came back from Wheaton always talking about doing violence to the text. I would never want to do violence to the text, except maybe to a text like the Da Vinci Code or something like it, and so let me begin at the beginning. Paul doesn't just begin to talk about justification by faith out of the blue, he begins in a very personal way. When we read Paul's letters, not wanting to do violence to the text, we should always read them in the context of Paul's life. I have a radical idea. What if we actually begin at verse 1? Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord. The gospel for Paul isn't something outside of him. It's almost as if the gospel is an inseparable part of Paul himself. Paul understands himself to be someone who has been separated to the gospel of God. Separated, set aside, holy. Surely, Paul is remembering the road to Damascus, on which the separation to holiness and apostleship and the gospel to which God had elected Paul became very real and alive. When Paul says called, he means called. For Paul, this took the form of an audible voice. This gospel is Paul's, and yet it is much larger than he is, for he acknowledges that it was promised before through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. It's as if Paul sees the entire plan of God's and his part in it, and boldly and courageously accepts God's call on his life. But this gospel and call are closer still. The call of the gospel on Paul's life is not some intellectual idea that has taken hold of him. It's a person who called him and knocked him down and became a part of his life. The Christ whose gospel Paul has been separated to is the Christ through whom Paul and others have received grace and apostleship. But this gospel that is so close to Paul, this Christ of the gospel, is not Paul's alone, nor only the prophets. Paul was set aside for obedience to the faith among all the nations. This obedience began with Christ's obedience, and then Paul's, and so on, and so on. And so the Romans to whom the Paul writes are also the called of Jesus Christ, verse 6. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be his saints, verse 7. There it is again, the calling of Jesus Christ to be holy and set apart for his purposes. The Christ who has so forcefully entered Paul's life has also entered the life of the Roman saints. Christ is in Paul, and Christ is in the Romans. And so Paul is in the Romans, and the Romans in Paul. For this reason Paul thanks God through Jesus Christ, because the faith of the Romans is spoken throughout the whole world. And for this reason they are a part of him in his prayers, and he is a part of them. He longs to see them, because they are the ones in Christ, and he longs to impart some spiritual gift, because he has been taught that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul and the Romans, and the Romans and Paul, because all in Christ. And so Paul can long to come to them, because in coming to them he finds Christ, and in his coming the Romans find Christ. And Paul can know that when he comes they will be encouraged together, because they have the same Holy Spirit who dwells in them all and makes them all one in Christ. Their faith is also a mutual faith, for it is a common and united faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what happens when you put together those whom Christ has set aside by his call. And now we come to that more famous part of Romans 1, but only after we understand Christ in Paul, the just shall live by faith. Paul doesn't really say that much about this phrase at this point, although he returns to it later. But here is the bridge between verse 17 and Paul's union with Christ through his gospel. It, that is the gospel, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Verse 16. I think we have a tendency to think of the gospel as a thing, a set of propositions about God, the word of God as a commodity that is imprisoned in paper pages and books. It is an object outside of us and something we, therefore, objectify. But to Paul, the gospel seems to be nothing less than Jesus himself, so that the gospel is not merely about Jesus Christ, it conveys or it even is Jesus Christ. The gospel is not just a bunch of words or propositions. Paul says it is the power of God to salvation. And yet this Christ, who is God, comes to us in mere words after all. We must hear the gospel, but in hearing it goes into us. Will it stay? Will it become a part of us? If it does, cannot remain mere words, but must become the Word of God to us. Capital W, capital G. How? By faith. This faith, mysterious as it is, has the power to apprehend the gospel of Jesus Christ and Jesus himself. This faith, invisible as it is, has the power to see the invisible and make it real. And it has the power to receive the power of God to salvation, which is the gospel, which is Jesus. This faith, mysterious as it is, simply says yes to God and all that God says. And in saying yes to God, we say yes to life. And so the just, those made righteous, shall live by faith. I think this can be taken in two equally wonderful ways. And I see no need to choose one over the other, for they are ultimately one. It means that by faith we initially receive God and his power of salvation by saying yes to him. But it also means that we continue to live by faith, to receive God and his power of salvation by continuing to say yes to him and his call and his gospel. So then, what do we have? The gospel is not just a thing, but also a person. And this person is the one who calls you by his word and gospel. Also, by saying yes to this person, by saying yes to his word, that is faith, we receive life, and that by continuing to say yes to him, by faith, we continue to have life in him. And that by saying yes to him, we are united to him, and therefore joyfully united to all who also say yes to him, who is the yes, and through him all the promises of God are yes. They say that all roads lead to Rome, but in the book of Romans, all roads lead to Christ.
Give Us This Day Evening Edition is a presentation of Always with Christ Radio in the Anglican Way.